Hello, everybody. I'm Lisa Burwell, your host of VSpeaks, Conversations with Heart and Soul. Our podcast is the next level of bringing you the printed words on the pages of our magazine into real life and getting to go down deeper in some levels and meeting all the wonderful people that we've interviewed in the magazine, or in Morgan James's case, our upcoming guest. She was a cover girl back in 2013 and again in a big spread in New York City when we filmed a big shoot at the United Palace Theater. The beautiful, the talented, the lovely Morgan James. Hey, Morgan.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm
so
great.
Good to see you.
It's so good to see you too.
Thank you for taking the time. I know you are very, very busy. I mean, I don't even know how you keep up with that schedule that you have. It's pretty fierce, right? Do you manage your schedule, or do you have somebody that does that for you?
Well, I have a great team of people. I have my managers and my agents handle all my booking, and I have a day-to-day manager that keeps me on task. And so thankfully I have a lot of people helping me with that schedule, tour manager and lots of people. We're going to be getting back on the road the end of this month, and it will be the first time back on the road in 2 years. So we're getting ready. We're gearing up.
Yes, that is amazing. So have you performed live yet? You have, I think, in the last couple months. Have you performed somewhere
live?
We've
been getting back into it. I've done a few symphony performances. We've done a few duo performances, my husband and I, here and there, kind of getting our feet wet a little bit, you know, dipping our toe back into the touring water. But this holiday tour is going to be pretty extensive.
Right. And that's what we're predominantly talking about here, which is the release this Friday, November 5th, of your new holiday album called A Very Magnetic Christmas. And it is surely magnetic. It's really beautiful. 10 songs. And I absolutely love them. How long did it take you to, I know you have three songs that are, that you wrote with Doug.
Mm-hmm.
And also then you're covering and remixing the other seven, which you did such a good job. And I told you that, you know, I love your first song on the album, Do You Hear What I Hear? That was an amazing remix of that song. And you sound just like nobody else can sound. I mean, nobody can sound like you. So how long was that in the making?
Well, I've always wanted to make a holiday album because I love holiday music. I am one of those people that, I mean, today is November 1st and it is time to start burning the Christmas candle. And I decorate and play holiday music for so long. It just brings me so much joy. So I knew I would eventually make a holiday album. When we weren't able to tour Memphis Magnetic, my last studio album, the sadness and disappointment that went into that kind of fueled my desire to make a continuation of the project. I wanted to go back to Memphis and make more great memories there. I wanted to come together in a room of musicians, and I thought a Christmas album would be the perfect way to celebrate getting back together.
Mm-hmm.
And I, instead of looking at it at like the pandemic stopped my project, I looked at it as, you know, it's ephemeral. It goes on and on, and someone will find that album and they'll find my Christmas album too. And So I really looked at it as a continuation of the project I had already begun.
Mm-hmm.
And when we recorded it in Memphis, we recorded it in July, and we recorded it truly as a live project. Everything you hear is 100% live with a live studio audience. And that was so thrilling. I've never done anything quite like that. Very difficult and very thrilling at the same time. And we recorded all of it. We're making a Christmas special as well. And so it really feels like a little moment in time that was captured on tape.
Mm-hmm. We covered that story. Jordan Staggs here, our managing editor, had written that story about your experience there. And then the photo shoot looked absolutely amazing. So will you be able to go back out on the road with that? I know that time was suspended for the last 2 years, but are you going to be able to get all that out there on the road eventually?
Yeah. We have a tour planned starting in March. And we're just going to keep at it. You know, I will be the top of 22. I'll be starting to write my next album, of course, but we're going to tour Memphis Magnetic starting in March. And,
Oh, good. And it's there.
I'm excited to play that music again. Yeah, we didn't get to play any of it. You know, we had just started our tour in February of 2020, and we played about 2 weeks of dates, and then of course everything shut down. So I'm excited to get those songs out in the world.
I know how excited you were to record there, and you were there like over a month or something. It was an extended period of time a couple of years ago.
Yeah, we were there about 3 weeks.
Yeah. And so what was so special about it? I know being in Memphis was part of it, or what else was part of it?
So being in Memphis is very special. It's such a different place, and it's one of the great homes of soul music. It's got such a history and such a different pace. So getting out of my comfort zone and getting out of the pace of New York City is a big part of it. The other part of it is that this studio, Memphis Magnetic, the owner, Scott McEwen, has created this studio and filled it with vintage gear and effects that are so authentic and so real and so timeless. You know, the board that I was singing through, Patsy Cline sang through that board, you know, and every single piece of gear has a story and has a history. And, you know how obsessed I am with vintage clothing and vintage jewelry. And I love clothing and gear and music and furniture with a story. Mm-hmm. And I love wondering who wore this jacket or wore these earrings or sang through this microphone. And I think that that really puts you in a place of being able to channel the timelessness of soul music. Mm-hmm. So that for me was what made it so special. It's also just, Memphis has so many incredible musicians to choose from and get to work with. And there's just an unhurried, unrushed way of working in Memphis that I really benefited from.
Mm-hmm. That's so awesome. So what song, you might be singing a song for us today, and I don't know when you're going to be ready to do that. Just let me know and we'll get that ready to get queued up.
Sure.
Let's kind of go back and tell our listeners and the audience about, you know, how you got into the business and how many different things that you've done in the business. Juilliard trained, Nina Simone, obsessed and channeling her, five Broadway musicals. And that was just like, that brings us back, what, 6-7 years ago. And then all of what we're talking about now, plus a lot more. was your goal to hit Broadway at the beginning, or is that just something that you stumbled into? And that must've been really hard, because Broadway shows are a hard gig where you only have what, like a half a day off or something, like for the whole run of the show.
You get one day off a week. Being on Broadway is the hardest job I've ever had. It's definitely was my goal as a child. I wanted to be on Broadway since I was probably, I remember having that dream when I was maybe 11 or 12. And so I definitely wanted to be on Broadway. I had no idea how hard it was going to be. Like, you never really do.
Right.
But I think that I really attribute my stamina and work ethic and ability to tour now as a solo artist to what I learned being on Broadway.
Yeah.
Because you do eight shows a week, you get one day off. It's a grueling, grueling schedule. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people say, oh, but you're only working a couple hours a night, but you're rehearsing. Really not. You're working, you know, it's a very demanding job, and but it's an amazing job. Mm-hmm. So I am so happy that I had that experience. It took me a long time to get on Broadway. You know, I really pounded the pavement for many years. I paid my dues and I worked every random job in New York you can possibly have. You know, I waited tables. I tended bar. I was a hostess. I was a babysitter. I was a nanny. I was a tutor. I worked in, you name it. I did it. And I sang in wedding bands. I did all sorts of things while I was auditioning. So the fact that I make my living now playing music, singing, it doesn't ever get lost on me how lucky I am.
Right. Well, and how hard you work to get there too. I saw you in Motown, the musical. And
yes.
Was that a 3-year run that you had with them?
I was in that show on Broadway proper for under a year. I had, when I was starting Motown, is when I met my mentor, Berry Gordy Jr., who is, if you don't know, is the founder of Motown, of course.
Yes, I do.
And, well, listeners, I mean, you know, maybe they don't know maybe his name, but Berry Gordy Jr. is a force, and he became my mentor. He got me a record deal at Sony Music with Epic Records. And so when I was in the midst of my run of Motown, I started making my first album. I was doing all this simultaneously, so it was insane, the schedule. So I just started to realize I had to kind of focus on my solo career entirely, and that's when I left Motown. But I was in it for about, on Broadway for about a year. We had done many workshops before that.
Well, I'm so glad I got to see it. That was just amazing. Thank you for that.
It was an amazing show, treat. Yeah.
And then we first met, you know, at Cigars and with Demetrius Fuller, the maestro of Symphonia Gulf Coast. And that was a great venue. And you said that you want to come back. I hope, you know, he brings you back for that, because that was truly a magical night. And I'd never heard anybody sing like you. You know, you are an original. And, you know, I'm a big fan of yours. And you are just like the best of the best. And there's just no denying that. And I'll segue into a quote recently from the Wall Street Journal, who called you, Morgan James, the most promising young vocalist to come along so far this century for her 2020 album, Memphis Magnetic. Well, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And a great, great compliment. And so you're already getting rave reviews before it even, you know, hits the airwaves. And congratulations to you for that.
Thank you so much. Pretty awesome.
Yeah. I mean, so, so good. Like so many people who are successful and are doing their thing and are walking in their, you know, their talents and all that, you know, like you had touched on, it is a lot harder to get there and then also stay there than most people can imagine. But the amount of different things that you have done with, you know, getting ready for the tour and then all the, you know, all the singles and the albums that you're putting out, and just your own vision that you and I had talked about one time, about like sort of doing it your way and not necessarily the way of the studios, because that really doesn't work, or your creative, your music gets altered and edited and it can't be yours anymore. So you have to control your own destiny. Will you tell us a little bit about like that, your philosophy, and like, one, how much courage and tenacity and conviction that has to take for you to basically be convicted in what you want to do with your abilities and talent?
You know, when I was signed to Epic Records, I made two records with Epic. They released my live record, A Celebration of Nina Simone, and they released my album Hunter. And, the entire time I was with the label, it was a real love hate, because I wanted it so much, and I appreciated the money and the exposure and all the things that came with a major label. But at the same time, there were really troubling things that went on in that relationship. And I always feared that I was going to be dropped, or I was going to be shelved, or all the things you fear. And it drove me insane. You know, they wanted me to be something different every week, and they didn't really care what I wanted to do or what I wanted to be. And I was a grown woman. I wasn't like a 20-year-old kid that was a moldable piece of clay. I really was like already well on the way to being my own statue, you know, and they really wanted to kind of tell me what to do. Mm-hmm. Long story short, my fear was that I would be dropped. And, you know, lo and behold, my fear came true. I was dropped and I survived. Not only did I survive, but my management team, my manager, David, flew to New York to tell me the news, because nobody at Epic Records even called me.
Okay.
And he came to New York and he said, I have good news and bad news. The good news is that you're going to make the next record you make, you're going to make it however you want, and you're going to be in complete control, and we're going to make whatever you want to make. The bad news is that it won't be with Epic Records, you know? And so he was behind me. My whole team was behind me. There wasn't even a shred of doubt.
Right.
Once I kind of picked myself up from that, I said, okay, I have an opportunity. I have an opportunity to learn how to raise money. I am going to learn how to be my own boss entirely. I'm going to learn how to do everything around every video, every piece of merchandise, every photo, every shred of everything I do. I'm going to be able to, nobody's going to tell me what to do. Mm-hmm. and I'm going to be able to make it myself. I didn't know how yet, but I love being an independent artist. Now I would never go back because now I love being able to have a vision of something. Like this year, I wanted to make a calendar. I got this team of artists together and we made this really, really fun, you know, kind of vintage inspired calendar. Like I wanted to make vinyl and have record players and have all this different unique things I could offer my fans. I want to go all over the place and record and work with different artists and work with different people. And my management team always says, yes, they say, yeah, if that's in your heart, let's make it happen.
Right. And when's that going to come out? When can we get this calendar?
Is it out? It's available for pre-order now. Yeah.
Okay,
you can pre-order it now. It's so fun. We did 12 different vintage looks we shot in 2 days.
Oh my gosh. And where did you shoot that?
We shot it at a studio. It all had to be on Seamless, you know, so that we could edit them and add them into things later. But I styled the entire shoot myself and it was so much fun. So things like that, you know, if I get an idea, I have this team of people that help me make it possible. And that's something I couldn't have done before, you know?
Right. But then you were doing that and forging your own path and destiny even before, you know, the music business, lo and behold, changed almost before your eyes. And so if you hadn't pivoted a couple of years before that, I mean, that is a lot of what you're doing right now is the way that music is getting out there, right? It's not completely label driven because the medium of, you know, being able with Facebook Live or social, you know, you can be your own marketeer to some degree. And then your big claim to fame at one time, a couple of years ago, which I'm sure this number is way higher, but didn't you have like an absolutely obscene amount of YouTube followers a couple of years ago, like where you broke like over 1 million or more?
Well, I have over 250 million YouTube views.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, and
that's huge.
I'm so thankful that I have been building my online following, because if I had not built an online following, I don't know how I could have survived the pandemic, frankly.
Right. And without social marketing and without building that, you might not have been able to, because how would anyone see you? So it's really, you know, it's a necessary evil sometimes, social marketing, but it also can be, you know, obviously fantastic, especially in times like you were in. And then of course, COVID. I mean, it was the only thing that really kept people connected on some level, with all these, what we're doing right now, you know, podcasts are soaring and just so many things have changed. And so you were almost being groomed, maybe without even knowing it, to be ready for all that was coming.
Yeah.
It seems, you know, in looking back, it seems like you were right on track all the time.
Well, you know, I didn't, Doug and I, when the pandemic began, we were home, of course, and we were, you know, quarantined together, a husband and wife musical duo, you know, we were still able to practice and write and make music, which I'm so thankful for.
Yes.
And we started doing online shows every Saturday on Stage It. We started making videos. We did, like 125 videos in 2020, and we performed almost every single Saturday a different set of music. And it was a total godsend to us, because I'm such a dog with a job. Like, I am so somebody that needs to just be going and do and practice and so I was in the wake of everything we were all dealing with, the sadness, the worry, the disappointment, the fear, I at least still had music and we had each other. And so I feel incredibly fortunate. Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable. I desperately want to get to one of your shows too. I think I'm going to try to get to your DC show in the 26th.
Oh, great.
Is that right? On the 26th, I think.
26th. Yes.
Okay, good.
And we're also going to be, well, Atlanta is pretty close to you.
It is, but my sister lives in D.C., so
that's
going to be more fun.
we're kicking off our tour in D.C., which I'm so excited about.
I know.
Yes.
We'll segue from your D.C. Tell everybody about what you did there, like in 2019, and then your PBS affiliation and all that. It's cool.
So I collaborated many times with this amazing organization called the American Pops Orchestra, and it's run by my friend Luke Frazier. And he has this amazing orchestra. He does all original arrangements in unique spaces. And he invited me to be a part of a few filmed concerts that eventually were picked up by PBS. One was Ella Wishes You a Swinging Christmas. You can see that on PBS right now on their website. We did a huge New Year's Eve celebration, Songs That Unite Us, and it was star-studded. Audra McDonald, Brian Stokes Mitchell, Renee Fleming, Josh Groban, you name it. And I got to perform in that. And it's been such an amazing organization to collaborate with. I've done many concerts with them. So that was such a treat to, in the midst of the pandemic, to be singing with an orchestra again. And they did it so safely and so smartly. So it was awesome. If you ever have a chance to see anything they're doing, they're in DC, American Pops Orchestra. Okay. They're awesome.
I will. I did see pictures, and there are some of those events that you and your dresses that you had on, you just like, you went over the top. You were stunning.
Yep.
Absolutely. Yep.
Thank you.
That's so good. So, when do you think that you are ready to, play a little ditty from your upcoming album?
Yeah. Let me grab Doug.
Okay.
Oh, he's right here. I didn't even know he was in the room. My husband, Doug Bobble, who's my collaborator and my partner in crime. And we wrote 3 new songs for our Christmas album, in addition to our 7 covers. And this is one of them.
Awesome. Hi, Doug.
He doesn't have headphones on, but Lisa says okay. Hi. Oh, let me back this up a little bit. This song is called Long As I Got You.
That's when I know that the world outside don't matter anyway. So let it be cold when I was alone, and the icy wind was trying to keep me out. I didn't know what the winter time was supposed to be.
Bravo. So beautiful.
Thank you so much.
That song was unbelievable. As Long As I Got You is a song written by you and your husband, Doug. And it's one of the 10 songs on your holiday Christmas album.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about the meaning behind that and all the warm and fuzzies that go with it.
So we wrote 3 new original songs for this album, and we wanted to write a song that was joyful and romantic and not necessarily about Christmas or a holiday, but about the winter season, because we love the winter season and we love getting cozy and lighting a fire and, you know, pouring a glass of wine. And we wanted a song for everybody out there who loves being with their sweetheart in the winter. Yes. And so that's what that song's about.
Well, I can feel it, you saying that, because when I've listened to the songs, all I can think about is that I want to, you know, be inside the house and be cozy and just have that music playing in my house like all day long, because it really does evoke all those emotions and feelings that you're going with there. Really well done.
Thank you. Beautiful.
Now the world, or people who have not heard you, I don't think there's probably too many people left in the world that haven't heard you, but there might be a few. So they get to hear you again or hear you for the first time.
So,
like we said at the beginning, we go back a little bit, and one of our really fun experiences that we had with you that was, you know, pretty epic was when we've brought a film crew up and Carlo Pieroni, the Italian photographer that we always use when we need like our absolute A game, and Kristen Chenoweth was on the cover, but we had like a Vanity Fair type fold out where you were in that with all some other greats, with Demetrius Fuller from Symphonia Gulf Coast, who's celebrating their 10-year anniversary, which was, you know, 6 years ago. And that was an all-day shoot, and everyone, including yourself, donned Christian Siriano gowns that you wore like better than just about anybody. And you should always be wearing his clothing, because you wear his clothing so well.
I am so obsessed with Christian Siriano. Okay, that shoot that we did was so epic. Not only did I get to wear Christian Siriano, I got to meet Kristen Chenoweth and shoot all day with fabulous people. Carlo Pieroni and his wife, who is a model,
Carol,
yes, taught me how to up to my game of photography and taking a photo in ways that I could. I mean, it was a lesson. I learned so much that day, and I got to meet Kristen, and I gave her my current album that I had out then. And she was so gracious and so kind. And we had, you know, known about each other. Obviously, I've known about her for many, many years. She had heard about me before, and she was just so beautiful and gracious. And soon after, she was doing a show on Broadway, and I went to see her, and we got to chat a little more. So every time I got to see her, we would chat a little bit more. So cut to my friend Steve Tyrell, who produced my first record, produces all of Kristen Chenoweth's records. And when he's working on the arrangements with all these incredible arrangers and orchestrators, Kristen is often shooting something or busy in like all over the world. So he would used to call me in, and I would sing all the arrangements for her to learn.
Oh, that's cool.
So she never knew it was me. So one day she says to Steve Tyrell, "Who is singing all these arrangements? I love her voice." And he said, "Oh, that's my friend Morgan James." And she said, "Morgan James, I know her. I can't." So we had this thread in common. So then my friend was working on her Broadway show for the girls, and suggested to her, "Why don't, you know, do you know my friend Morgan James? Maybe she could come be your guest." And again, she said, "Oh my gosh, why didn't I think of this?" Yes. She invited me to be her guest on her Broadway show. And she told this story. She told about how we met, and we had this total full circle moment, and we really got to kind of hang out as pals. And, It was so amazing. So I'll send you those photos.
Yes,
and she is so gracious. I do have a dream that maybe, since we both have Christmas albums, I do have a dream that maybe we'll get to next Christmas tour together or something.
I hope it comes true. I'm sure it will. Yes, I know. That's a great story. I did not know that. I love it. I love hearing about how when you're on the creative journey and you're doing really great things with people, and then you keep and foster the relationships and you circle back again with one another.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's like more than half the battle to keep these relationships going. And seeing everybody grow and evolve, and so many people continue to grow and evolve. Like, no one even that we've met along this journey even seems to have like hit the top yet. They keep climbing and climbing. Like, where's the top going to end, you know? So,
yeah.
And just like you, I mean, you're as well as you're doing, and you're doing well. I mean, I've always told you this. I just see like.
You've always been such a cheerleader of mine, and I feel really honored because you have great taste. So I feel very, very honored that you like what I do, and you've always been such a cheerleader of mine. You know, it means the world when someone who is great at what they do and has impeccable taste likes what you do.
Well, thank you. And then, like a story, I don't know if you know how meaningful this was to me when I took my dad, who had Alzheimer's, to a sound check. That day that we met 7-8 years ago, and we were just sitting there, and he was a little shy because of, you know, all that he was dealing with. And then you came over, and you were this bright light, magnetic light, and he lit up, and you were so gracious to my dad, who's not here anymore. So I don't even know if you know that. Always sticks with me every time I think of you. So thank you for being here. You're welcome. Thank you for singing your beautiful voice with Doug. And that was some serious guitar playing, Doug. Unbelievable. And I wish you all the best, and hope to see you soon. And I really do hope to see you in DC. I will be circling back with you if I'm able to get up there then. And be where? What is the venue in DC on the 26th?
City Winery.
We're playing there.
We play a lot of city wineries. We're playing Philly, DC, Atlanta, Nashville, New York, Boston.
Yeah. So good. So good. All right. Well, I will see you soon for sure. I know.
Yeah. The album is available on my, you can stream it and download it wherever you find music. And it's available for pre-order on my website. So you can get CDs, vinyl, record players, calendars, all sorts of merchandise, or you can stream it wherever music is found.
Yes. And we will put this up when we're ready. We will stream this in the credits and give everybody this information again. So go out, get this, buy this, and know about Morgan and fall in love with Morgan if you haven't already. It's impossible not to fall in love with her music. And thank you so much for being here, Morgan.
Thank you so much, Lisa.
Happy holidays.
Yes, you too.
Well, thanks for watching or listening, everyone. I hope you enjoyed the show. I did immensely. Morgan James is a superstar. She is just lovely, delightful, and has so much talent. She's a powerhouse, so soulful. I hope you get her album, A Magnetic Christmas. I know you're going to love it, and I know you'll fall in love with her if you check her out. And we're going to give you some information on the screens on how you can do that and how you can see her or purchase her music. And thanks for loving V, and thanks for keeping us in business by reading and listening and watching all of our what we have along the way with our magazine and the brand and the love that we have to bring this to you. Have a good day, everybody. Thank you. Happy holidays.